Before we talk about today and Christ the King, I want to talk a little bit about last Sunday. Do you remember what was your homework last Sunday? Do you remember? Yeah. So if you were here last Sunday, we passed out commitment forms for the stewardship appeal. And your homework was to take it home with you and pray about it. And to fill out one of these areas, these sacrifice that you would make, sacrifice of time, talent, or treasure, right? Because as we say, when we come to Mass and say, you know, may the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hand for the praise and glory of His name, for our good and good of all His church, what kind of sacrifice of time are you offering to God, to the altar? What kind of sacrifice of talent? What kind of sacrifice of treasure are you offering to God? And on behalf of Father Kevin and I, we would like to thank all of you for participating, because it seems like some of you guys didn't even wait for a week. You just kind of like put the forms in there or just put extra money in the collection, okay? Because just to give you a little report, last week we had a second collection for the typhoon in the Philippines, and we collected over $7,000 for that. And normally, and that's a wow, but normally, what that translates into in terms of St. Parish, St. Lucy Parish, and Mike would know this, is when there's a high second collection, that means there's a low first collection. That's usually what it translates into, but not last Sunday. Last Sunday, we went over the 20,000 mark threshold. So we collected over $20,000 in the first collection alone. So on behalf of Father Kevin and I, we would like to thank all of you for your generous contribution. And for those who brought their commitment forms, during the collection time, you could place your commitment form in the collection basket. And if you forgot about it, don't worry, there's always next week. And if you were not here last week, take a form with you, okay? So why do we celebrate Jesus Christ, Christ the King, on the last Sunday of the liturgical year? I mean, if you think about it, I mean, how come we don't celebrate Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, on the last Sunday of the liturgical year? Why don't we celebrate Jesus Christ, Prince of Peace, on the last Sunday of the liturgical year? Why don't we celebrate Jesus Christ, whatever. You know, he has so many different titles. Why Christ the King on the last Sunday of the liturgical year? You know? Somebody just make it up or what, you know? Probably. But it's something like this. Something like this. I got a buddy of mine, and he's one of these like creative people. You know, the people who use the right side of the brain a lot. And he's an author. He writes books. And he's actually pretty famous. You know, he won all kinds of awards, and one of the books that he wrote, it turned into a movie. Starring Brad Pitt, you know, Universal Films. Wow, he's a pretty famous guy, I guess, you know. So I asked him, hey, you know, how come you're so famous? You know, you're an author, you know, I'm not an author, I'm not so creative, but you're very creative, you know. Where does your ideas come from? How do you, like, if I wanted to start writing a book, like, how do I start? Give me some advice. When you write a book, where do you begin for writing a book? And he said, well, Steve, I first start writing the book by starting with the conclusion of the book, the ending. The ending is the first thing that I write. And once I have a really juicy ending, right, then I start to fill out the details of the plots and the characters and all these things and drama and all these. I fill it all in. But I start with the ending. Once I get the ending down, then I fill in the rest. And I think it's the same thing with us and God. God, who is the author of life. Since even before we were born, even when we were in our mother's wombs, God had a special plan. God created us since the beginning of time with a conclusion in mind, with the end in mind. And what is the end? The end is the end of the liturgical year, the end times, Christ the King. You know, if someone wrote a book about your life, what do you think, like a biography, what do you think would be the last, what do you think would be the title of the last chapter of your book? Happily Ever After? No. Let me give you a hint. At the Mass, I say, mystery of faith. Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. And you say, we proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again. Come again what? Come again what? As we say in the Creed, come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. You see, so many of us, we focus on, okay, November is Christmas time. All right, we get the little baby Jesus. Oh, he's just a cute little baby. Ooh, infant Jesus. Oh, he's born in the manger with the shepherds. And oh, what about Jesus in the temple? He's running away in the temple. Uh-oh, he's lost. Poor little Jesus, he's lost. You know, or we focus on Jesus as an adult. Wow, he's healing and he's saving people and multiplying things and turning water into wine, right? Loaves and fishes and wow, wonderful. And he's suffering and he died and he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Amen. But that the resurrection is not the end. Christ has died. Christ will come again. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. That's the final chapter. The biography of our lives. The final chapter is not the resurrection. The final chapter is the final judgment. When Christ the King will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. And oftentimes we just kind of forget about that. You know? But like my friend, the creative guy, the author, if we know the ending, if we know our conclusion, the final judgment, when Christ comes again, now we can fill in the details. Now we can fill in the plot, the characters of our lives to get to that end, to get to that judgment. And no matter what we do in life, living or dead, we will all face this conclusion, whether you like it or not. But how we get there, how we get to our judgment, Christ the King of the end times, depends on us and our free will. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about this Christ the King and the criteria that our King uses to rule his kingdom for the last chapter of the book of our lives. When you think of the word king, what comes to your mind? K-I-N-G, king. King of spades? Burger King? Don't tell me Burger King. Don't eat there. What comes to your mind when you think of king? I heard power. Greatness, you know, somebody who rules a kingdom, right? Authority, power, regalia, you know? Well, what kind of power does Jesus exercise in the gospel today? What kind of power does Jesus exercise in the gospel today? The soldiers mocked him. They jeered at him and say, "Hey, you idiot, you call yourself the king of the Jews. And if you're a king, you should have some power. Go save yourself. Obviously, you can't do that because you're on the cross." Ha ha. You know? He's portrayed as a king of the Jews. And who are the Jews? The Jews are the slaves of Egypt, the captives of Babylon, under the rule of the Roman Empire. So what is the criteria that Jesus uses to rule his kingdom? He does not rule with coercion. He does not rule with fear or manipulation. But Jesus rules with love. His suffering and dying on the cross shows that he rules his people with love. And his silence, as the soldiers mock him, okay, is a silence of love. As Jesus asks his Father to forgive him, for they not know what they are doing. And ultimately, because Jesus rules with love, he's able to convert the hearts of that repentant thief, the apostles, and all of us who recognize the fear of God, the wonder, the awe of God's love, even when we go astray. And if that's the case, if we want to have a positive ending, who wants a positive ending to the book of your life? Everybody wants a positive ending. If you want a positive ending, when we face our final judgment, we too must rule with love. And you might be thinking, well, I mean, I'm not a king. You know, I just live with my wife. You know, I'm not a king. You know, I'm just in ninth grade. I'm not a king. You know, what is it that doesn't apply to me? No, it applies to everybody. By the virtue of our baptism, we have to exercise our kingship, our kingly role. And I think everybody is in a position of some kind of power or authority to exercise their kingship. Because the power to rule isn't just reserved for a tyrannical ruler or for Obama or CEO of a company. Okay? The way you interact with people at school, with your classmates, or with your coworkers, with your family, anybody, you know, it's an opportunity to exercise our kingship. For example, parents. Parents have tremendous power over their children. Whatever you say, act, or do, it has great influence on your children. But how do you do that? How do you exercise this kingship? How do you exercise the art of raising and disciplining them? You know, even children have tremendous power over their parents. Do you know that? Big time. You know, the parents can be like, hey, I want you to do this and do that, do that. All the baby needs to do is cry. That's it. Baby cries. The baby controls the house. Rule the house. Gets everybody's attention. Right? Or a child complains, you know, I'm sick and this and that, you know. Doesn't want to go to school. I'm sick. Well, that's exercising your kingship right there. That's exercising your authority right there. Even as a baby. Right? Everyone we meet and encounter in our lives, in one way or another, we are exercising our kingship. Question is, how? How are we going to exercise our kingship? To rule with love. And have you heard of the phrase, kill him with love? Have you heard of that? Kill him with love. You know, like, you really hate this person? Well, yeah, you get back at him. Get back at him. You know, you kill him. I want you to kill him. But kill him with love. You know, you show, exercise your kingship with love. Not just the ones who like you or the ones that you like, but with your enemies. Just kill them. Get back at them. Right? Get back at them. But by loving them, like Jesus who ruled with love, even in the midst of injustice, mockery, suffering, betrayal, death, he really ruled with love. You know, and killing him with love is what he did with that silent treatment and asking for forgiveness, which melted the heart of the repentant thief to convert. And when you kill him, when you kill him with love, you will see some great results. You know, do you remember a while back when somebody tried to assassinate Pope John Paul II? Do you remember that? Yeah? And what was Pope John Paul's response to that? He'd kill him with love. He'd kill him with love by going back to the jail of the one who tried to kill him, you know, and pardoning him. And forgiving that person. And that caused that repentant person to change, right? Or a normal spousal conversation, relationship, you know. How can I kill my husband? How can I kill my wife with love? You know, because maybe after work or whatever, on a Sunday evening, conversation might look like the wife or the husband or your spouse, not to be sexist, okay, our spouse, can be like, how do you respond to that? How do you respond to that? How do you respond to that? No. You respond with love. No, you want to yell at me? I'm going to get right back at you. I'm going to kill you. But I'm going to kill you with love. You know, I'm going to make a decision to love you. That's what I'm talking about. Killing him with love. Okay? We have our RCIA retreat. The guys who went on the retreat, people who are preparing for the sacrament of baptism, First Communion, and others who are preparing for the sacrament of confirmation, you know, You're a call to action, right? Call to action. How are you going to exercise your kingship? How are you going to rule with love as well? Think about that as you prepare and to deepen your journey and to put on Christ, as we talked about the mask thing, okay? And think about all of us. Your homework this week is, if somebody was writing your biography this week, think about the last chapter. Think about the last chapter of the book of your life. The final, what's the title of your last chapter? What should be the title of the last chapter of the book? Final Judgment, Christ the King. Now when that happens, ask yourself, how can I rule? How can I exercise my kingship here on earth? It's the same way Jesus did with the people that I encounter. How can I really rule with love? How can I really kill them with love?